I spoke to, on a Tuesday morning, we usually have a live streaming and then we speak to the sons in Switzerland and in England and in South Africa. And, you know, sometimes God is really, or he lays something on your heart, and then we just have to be obedient, and because there's always a reason why God will put something on the heart of the father, or on the heart of the leader, or the pastor, of the home cell leader. You are all in leadership positions. So sometimes God will put something on your heart and you don't really know why God is doing this, because you don't see always things with the physical eyes. But inside your spirit, you can pick some things up and you know, well, this is what God is saying. I don't know why God is laying or putting this on my heart, but I have to be obedient. And I found out that, you know, if you're obedient, in spite of what your reason is telling you, you will always find out later that God was doing the right thing again with you. So never be afraid to speak what God tells you to speak or what is on your heart. Because we are, firstly, we are spiritual beings. You know, we live in the natural and we reason with our brains, but we are spiritual beings. So it's important to learn to listen to that voice. We call it sometimes a small, still voice, you know, but it is an impression sometimes on our spirit. It's very seldom that any of us will hear God's voice loud and clear, speaking out of heaven, this is God and this is what you must do. It doesn't work that way. You know, it's always that quiet, still voice, just dropping something. But the moment it happened, you know that this is God speaking to me now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can put a whole conversation up with God, you know. You will speak to him and the Spirit will speak to you and it becomes like speaking to you. But don't wait for that loud voice shouting from heaven. That does not happen a lot of time. And let me tell you, not even the most spiritual men will have that experience. Some will tell you that once or twice in their lifetime they've actually heard God very clear and very... So yeah, and I think for me the last month or so, God is really speaking to me about that whatever he gave us, like what I spoke to you on Sunday, and I have to have notes, because I cannot remember, I forget half of it if I just speak because of the language situation also. So I have to use notes when I speak. But it is important to speak about certain things. And sometimes we develop an appetite for heavy revelations and things. And that's good, because that's how the church is built. But then we can so easily neglect the things that we think actually is very small and insignificant. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, sometimes think about things that is important to God according to the Word. If you think about what he said, think that there's only one new commandment, and that is that you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart and that you will love your neighbor like yourself. I mean, it's so simple. It's so, okay, I have to love God and I have to love you. That's all God requires of me. But when we really start looking at what does it mean to love God? No? How do I love God, actually? If you, I'm one of those people, the moment you tell me something, I would like to try and work it out. Okay, how will I do it? Tomorrow morning when I get up, how will I love God? And this is one of the things that I've mentioned this before. And whenever Franz came home with this revelation, and he will speak to me and said, Netta, you know what, listen to this. Listen what God told me. And then I will say to him after listening, okay, tell me now. How will that benefit me or help me to become a better child, you know? I don't want to have things that it's up there. No, no, no. If it doesn't work on the ground, if it does not work on the ground, it's not worth having. I want, this is one of the things that I stand on. If it cannot work in my house, in my marriage, with my children, in my church, if it does not work in my life, why do I have that revelation? Isn't every revelation there to take us to a place of maturity? To take us to the perfect Son, and we know perfect means just being mature in Christ. Isn't that where we're supposed to go with the church so that God, Jesus can return to this earth? So our responsibility is to be build one another up to become mature in Christ. So everything that you listen to on a Sunday and when you listen to in conferences, you have to somehow apply it to your life to bring change in your life. Otherwise, we're just busy playing. If something, some revelations or all revelations does not change me into something better, into something more, into the image of Christ, then for me there's a problem, serious problem. So, and like I said, it has to work in your house. And as leaders, it has to work in your house. It has to work in your marriage. It has to work in your personal relationship with people. Then we're on our way somewhere. And you know, it's hard. It's an easy thing for me to say these things. But it's not easy always in everyday living to take these things and to let it work, because we're humans. And let me tell you, nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. And nobody is there yet. Nobody is there yet. But daily we are supposed to grow into the image of God. And we can sometimes get to a place that we can get very tired of trying to become more Christ-like. You know, maybe we have something that we struggle with and we're trying to get free. And today I feel I'm more than a conqueror, but tomorrow I make the same mistake again. And, you know, the thing is not how many times I fail, but how many times I get up again. I tell myself, tomorrow is a new day. I will try again to grow into the image of Christ. So it doesn't matter if you fail. We all fail. There's nobody there yet. So don't ever look at yourself and think, I will never reach that standard. You know, you must always remember that grace is there. And the difference between that standard and you, grace will make that up until you get there. So don't let the devil ever make you feel inadequate to be a son of God. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not be where you see other people. And always remember, when we look at one another, we don't see everything. You know? You have no idea what I'm struggling with in my life. You know, maybe it's not sin. Like we know sin, you know, we know sin is missing the mark, but when we talk about sin, it can be a different idea. Maybe it's not that, but maybe I have, and I do have other issues, trying to reach where I'm supposed to be and knowing that I'm not there. So I want to encourage you. I don't know where you are in your life and what you're struggling with, but keep on. Don't give up on that thing and say, ach, I am like, maybe I'm not supposed to be free of this thing. I'm just going to make this part of my life now. No, no, no. Then you can get to a place that you actually, you put it aside. You know, our brains have the ability to ignore certain things that's going on in our lives that we struggle to deal with. Your brain has the ability to take that and put it aside. And you can live with that thing as if It's not there. It's not real. I've experienced this many times in my life the past 4 years, how my brain will actually put this difficult situation for me, put it away as if France is just on an overseas trip. It helped me cope for the moment,
mm-hmm.
but on the long term, I had to deal with the fact that he's not there. The fact that he's not there. And the reality of certain things. And so it is with everything in our lives. So I just want to encourage you tonight, and I'm going to speak on how long time do we have?
It doesn't matter. As long as you want.
Well, I will give you an opportunity to ask questions, maybe. You do not understand something, then you can ask me. But I also want to ask you, while I'm going to talk, on what is on my heart for the church right now. Just mm-hmm. in between, just lift your hand if you want to ask something, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not me standing in front of a church and busy with a sermon. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. please feel free to do that. Okay, so I would like to start off with the attitude of the disciples of Jesus. While I was reading this a while ago, it really struck me that these disciples, although they were with Jesus day and night, they did not get everything. I mean, sometimes, even if you just look at these disciples, how they did not even recognize that they... that he was truly the Son of God, the Christ that would go to the cross. Many times, think about the story where that Mary broke the alabaster flask on the head of Jesus. And the disciples said, why are you doing that? You know, keep it. We can sell it.
Okay.
You know that story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the disciples said to her, why are you doing this? They didn't recognize. They didn't listen to all his messages that he was on his way to the cross. And that she was actually busy anointing him for the cross. And so many times when you read, you realize these disciples, although listening to him, didn't realize or didn't got it that he was actually the Son of God on his way to the cross. And there's many examples like that. But one of the things that really the last few weeks was on my heart is the fact that in Mark 9 verse 33 verse 35, and if you want to, you can open your Bibles there. Just keep it for scriptures that will help you in your own language. Mark 9 verse 33 to 35. Now they just came from Galilee with Jesus. Mark 9 verse 33. You don't have to read it, but just look at me, please. Don't read it now. Don't read now. Don't read now. It is the story. The disciples was coming from Galilee, and they were on their way to Capernaum with Jesus. They were walking with him. And while they were walking, you must think now, they just saw miracles. They just saw wonderful things happen. And now they start to argue who of us is the greatest. Can you imagine? You know? How silly. But it's human. When you look at this, you realize they were humans. Now they just said, okay, how many miracles did you do in Galilee, Catherine? And you, how many demons did you drive out? So I assume that was the kind of conversation that was going on, because they had an argument. Who of us, the 12 of us sitting here tonight, are the greatest? You know? What's the thing to talk about while just being in the presence of Jesus, seeing what he was doing? So they used, and I wonder what measurement they were using to establish who was the greatest among us. So what will we use today? Whose home cell is the biggest? Yeah? Who's giving the biggest tithe? I don't know. What is important to you? But they were trying to establish who were the greatest. So we will use different things. But this is what happened. While they were, Jesus heard. What in the world is these men talking about here? Don't they realize that I'm on my way to the cross and they're busy with silly little things here? So in Mark 9, verse 33, I don't know if it is the same, Catherine. You can check for me. But I want to try. I don't have to read it, but maybe you can just see if it is the same as what I'm reading. Mark 9, verse 33. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to them, "What was it I heard you arguing about along the way?" Mm-hmm. So Jesus was trying to get to them and said, "What were you arguing about? Tell me." Mm-hmm. He knew. And the Bible is actually saying in, if you go to different translations, I found out that your Bible and the English Bible and the Afrikaans Bible don't always say the same thing, but it's the same story. But
at least.
But at least it's not a different doctrine.
The same person.
Yeah. But the Bible is saying that when Jesus asked them, "What are you arguing about?" they actually didn't want to answer him. They were ashamed. Yes. And they looked down. They couldn't even look him in the eye. Because all of a sudden they realized they've been talking nonsense.
Can I have some water, please, Catherine?
Sure. They're busy with something that Jesus is not going to be happy with. So they didn't want to answer it. But, you know, as we know, Jesus, he knew. He heard them, and even if he didn't hear them, he would have known what was going on by a donkey. Right. So Jesus realized that here's the issue that he has to deal with. So you heard something that's not right, and you realize I must put this thing right in perspective. And he said this to him, "Greatness in my eyes," and you can go and read it on your own. He said, this is my way of telling you the story. He said, "Greatness in my eyes is firstly about humility and about service to one another, to being a servant." Now, if you are a servant, we know what servants do, and I'm really trying to explain very plain, because I know this is not your language. I'm doing my best here. I hope I'm not putting it too much too plain, but I do not underestimate your intelligence. I just underestimate the language. But that Jesus said to us.
Aber
yeah, so please lift up your hands if you do not understand what I'm saying. But Jesus said to him, "I don't care what your idea of greatness is. My idea of greatness is when you become the servant. And if you are humble, that is greatness in my eyes." And you know, even today, we can easily miss it. We can easily miss what is greatness in the eyes of Jesus, especially among leaders, pastors, but also leaders in the church. So it does not consist of seeing wonders or performing miracles or even fasting and praying. So Jesus said to them, it's not about how long you fasted, you know, being without food for 40 days. You know what we do if we fast? Everybody knows that. course, we're trying to make an impression on one another. You know, I fasted for 3 days last week, so I'm great, you know. Or, you know, I pray every morning from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Or I get up early. Now, I do get up early, but I promise you, I do not pray and fast and read my Bible just every morning for hours. So that's not why I'm getting up early. But people will tell you, they get up 4 o'clock and then they start praying and reading the Bible. And they think that by doing that, it brings greatness to our lives. We have to do it. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm not telling you so that you can think how wonderful I am. And we're not supposed to brag, because Jesus said, that does not impress me. How much you fast and how much you pray and what you do, that's not the things that impress me. The things that impress me is humility and servanthood. That is what impressed me. Of course, we have to do the other things. Don't miss something here. We have to do the other things. But we have to understand what is important. When Jesus, when God looked at us, what is He looking for? What is He looking for? So then, well, so he actually dealt with that. I'll skip a few things. But then just if you read on, you see exactly the same thing happen. You would think now these disciples listened now to Jesus. And they will change. No. Just a few chapters on, they're doing exactly the same thing. And now they're humans, like us. We're human. We make mistakes. So then in Luke 22. Yeah, just get it in case we read the scripture there. There was another dispute among the same disciples. And again it was to find out who is the greatest. You know? In Luke 22.
Lukas 22, Vers 24 bis 30.
Now, in that story, when you read it, you'll see that Jesus just, he was telling them that he was actually going to the cross. And he said to them, one will betray. Somebody among you will betray me. He was telling them. And you know what? The next moment you see, they start arguing about who's the greatest among us. They did not even ask who of us will betray him. They straight back into who's the greatest here among us. Not who's the betrayer. You know, it just show you how human we are. So, let me see. And again, if you read verse 24 to 30, Jesus said to them, the one who serves, that is the greatest among you. And then, of course, in the same chapter, if you read on, Simon, he looked at Simon and he said to Simon, Simon? Now, I can just imagine probably Simon was the one who said, I'm sure I'm the greatest of all of us. Because he was just one of those guys. He was like thunder Simon. So I'm sure maybe that's why Jesus, all of a sudden, he put all the focus on him and he said to him, Simon, and this is my words now, maybe you think you're the greatest, my words. But then Jesus said, but you are going to betray me. And Simon said, what? I will never betray you. I'll go with you to death. I'll go with you to death. And there's another word. But anyhow, I will never betray you. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Following me?
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus said to him, no, you are going to betray me. The crow is going to make a salt and you will betray me 3 times. And he said to Simon, he said, the devil is after you. He wants you, but I prayed for you that you will hang in there. So, you know, it was just for me reading that straight after that Jesus spoke to Simon. And we know what happened. He betrayed Jesus. So I want to come back to the moral of the story that, again, if you go and read it at home, you'll see that the same thing Jesus said. I want service of you. I want you to be a servant. I want you to serve people, to love people, to look after people. And then there's another incident that happened in Matthew 20, verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. Yeah, just keep your finger there. We're not reading because it will take too much time to read all the stories. Here we see that the mother of Zebedeus, she asked Jesus, will you please grant my 2 sons to sit on your, one on your left hand and one on your right hand in heaven? You know? I mean, that's just a mother asking for a nice place for her sons to sit. I would also like my children to sit, one on the right and one on the left hand of Jesus in heaven. Now, when the Bible is saying, when the disciples heard it, they were very upset. And as if they, no, wait, not you two, we will sit there, you know. And again, who's the greatest? Who will sit on the left and who will sit on the right with Jesus? But they were very unhappy about it. And maybe we can read it then in Matthew 20, verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. And maybe you can read it in your Bible. I'll just follow and stop when I want to say something. Verse 25. Of Matthew 20, verse 25.
Aber Jesus rief sie zu sich und sprach: Ihr wisst, dass die Herrscher ihre Völker niederhalten und die Mächtigen ihnen Gewalt antun.
Okay, verse 26.
26 is now: So soll es nicht sein unter euch, sondern wer unter euch groß sein will, der sei euer Diener.
Can I read it in English? Mm-hmm. And you can tell me if it's the same. Mm-hmm. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you. If you have a desire in your heart to become the greatest, to sit on my right hand or on my left hand, or whatever, where you want to sit, let him be your servant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so it's the same.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Verse 27. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is the way of the cross. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you look at people, you look at leaders, and you know that we have it totally wrong. We have it the other way around. You know, if I'm the big leader, I want you to serve me. I want you to wash my feet. But Jesus said, no. Sit, let me wash your feet. And that is the way that we are supposed to be. And this is not something that is natural to a human being, to be the servant of other people. But we have to make sure that this is the way that we are. This is the type of sons that we become. So, verse 28, just check the whole time that it is the same that what I'm reading, please. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve. He came to give his life for us. And he said, if the master is doing this, then you as the followers must also be willing to do this. And it really bothers me when you look at the church today and you see how we sometimes expect to be to be served instead of served. Of course there's, let me just put it in perspective for a moment. Of course, the Bible is talking about that we have to honor the leaders in the church. You have to honor them. And you have to really serve them. And they have to serve you. Mm-hmm. But you know, there is a place where you have the responsibility of serving them and honor them. So don't say, no, I'm not doing that. This is what they're supposed to do. Please don't take it out of context here. It's something different when you honor your leaders and you serve them. And they are at the place where they deserve your honor and your service. But this is just in general for everyone who belongs to the cross. We must have an attitude of serving people, an attitude of being willing to lie down our lives. This is a hard thing.
It's like in the marriage, yeah. There is an order, there is that the wife shall
honor, submit to the husband.
But it's for both of them, it's the same commandment to love and to be servant each other.
It's exactly the same.
Another
picture
in the church.
Yes. So, although the wife submit to the husband has a responsibility to lay down his life for her. And that's a difficult story. That's a preach for another day, that one. But a sermon for another day. Yeah, that is exactly the same. But the point that I would like to make tonight as to you as leaders, you're not there to be served by the people. You are firstly there to serve the people. And if our idea is that I'm in this position now and people must serve me, then we're totally mixed up. Because you are there to serve people. You are there to be there. That's exactly what the leaders are doing, looking after you. And that is also your responsibility. And the responsibility of everybody that is in leadership, a hundredfold more than people that are not in leadership. So we always have to get that right. Before I go on to the next point, would somebody like to ask something or add something at this stage? I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I think our problem is the understanding of for that, because we grow up in democracy, we grow up in politic systems, and the leader is, how we say, it's high, but in the kingdom of God, it's not the same.
Opposite, yeah. Always
yeah,
in the kingdom.
Yeah, that is a problem, I think, for us transform.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we have to transform this, our mind setting.
Yes. We have to. We have to. Yes. And we are really trying in this new season that we are in, even as leaders in the church, not to separate ourselves from the people. Mm-hmm. Because in the past, I came out of a traditional denominational church. We were pastors 21 years in this church, and I grew up in this church. So the leaders, they get to a place where they don't mix with the people anymore. They come in while the people are singing. They will come in and they will go out before the service is over, so that the people cannot come close to them. It's not right. It's not right. We as leaders have to be part of the people there. Serve them. Lay down our lives for them. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say lay down your life for them, this can keep us busy the whole night. Because what does that mean? It's a nice saying to lay down my life for my brother and my sister. But, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. that means a lot of things that I don't think I'm ready to do. Not in every area of my life yet. So this is just what I meant in the beginning, you know. If if we say things, it becomes religious sayings. Mm. We have this a language that we speak in the church. Like we will say, you know, when the pop stars are on the stage during a big concert, and they sing and everybody's screaming and dancing, and then they will shout, "I love you, I love you." Mm-hmm. What kind of love is that? What lie is that coming from that stage? She doesn't love anybody there. She only loves the money and the attention that they give her. So sometimes we in the church will even have this thing, "I love you." But, you know, it's it has just become a religious saying. And we're not willing to serve. Serving is when I know that my brother needs something. I'll be willing to give it. You know, in the Bible, I wonder sometimes if we will get back to a place in the church where I will see that my brother has a need and I'll be willing to sell what I have to help him in his need. That is how it was.
First, sell something.
Yeah.
You know? To give from what I have overleft. So
yeah. And sometimes not even that I have left. Sometimes I will suffer a shortage in my own life. Because my brother is in it.
Also, dass du bei einem Mann gehst, oder dass du auch kürzer trittst, eigentlich auch nicht von dem, wo du mehr zu viel hast, sondern dass du eigentlich auch gehst, auch wenn du eigentlich
nicht viel hast.
Ja, genau.
Oder in Apostelgeschichte haben sie ja auch etwas verkauft, für das sie haben können geben.
Ja.
So. Das ist nochmal wie eine
when you read that,
when
you read that, you realize that that is serving. That is laying down my life. I listened to, I think it was Psalm, I'm not sure now, but how his son and one of the congregation members that was the same age as his son, was driving home from university, and they were in a very bad accident. So when they called Tamu, let's say it's Tamu, I think it was him, and when they got to the accident, the ambulance were there. Now, I think it's everywhere the same. If you have a medical aid, they will take you to a private hospital. If you don't have a medical aid, you'll go to a public hospital. Now, in South Africa, this is how it works. And if they take you to a public, to a government hospital, and you have serious injuries, you're probably going to die. Because the situations are terrible in our government hospitals. They will put you in the... They will just leave you there for hours. There's not enough doctors to tend to you. So... I don't know here in Switzerland, but in South Africa it's very, very bad. And so when they got there, the ambulance was standing there and they were trying to find out if the boys have medical funds. So Tamu said, "Yes, my son do have one." So they put him in the ambulance to the private hospital, good doctors, good treatment, you know, everything. And they asked the other boy, and the other boy, there was no medical aid. And, so now they were faced with this boy. Are they going to allow him to go to this government hospital? They have no idea where the injury is. Probably he will not even make it to the hospital. They were really in a bad accident. And Tom O'Marolan said, "No, we cannot do this. Even if we take it on ourselves, we will pay for this boy taken to a private hospital." Now, you know what medical cost can be. sometimes you have to sell your house if it's serious. You know, it's ridiculous the amount of money, and I don't know here, but I'm talking about in South Africa. And you know, after listening to the story, I was thinking, that is how I lay down my life for my brothers and my sisters. Not knowing that I could be in such a mess financially if I look after you, but willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, the things that I'm saying here tonight, it's very basic things, and it sounds very easy. But it's not easy when you have to make that decisions. Yes. It's hard things. But I truly believe that we're at a place where we have to grow into this also, where we are willing to lay down our lives for one another. Mm-hmm. Not going to a cross like Jesus, but laying down our lives can take many forms. Laying down my life can mean that I will spend all my time helping somebody that's sick, that I will give money for somebody that's in need that I don't have. So this is the practical examples, and there's many. I'm sure you can think of many situations where you've been in life before, and you needed desperately people to come and help you and serve you. So is there many. And this is when you're a leader. At least when you're a leader, we must be willing. So everybody wants to be a leader. But everybody is not willing to lay down their lives for their brothers and sisters. So I'm leaving that with you, and I want you to think about it. That it will cost you to be a leader according to God's word. Mm-hmm. So, let's go on.
Yes.
Is there any more questions on that topic? Am I puzzling you? Are you okay? I'm not saying things that's too hard. Mm-hmm. Although I told you.
That's a question. I don't know yet.
That's true, it's very hard. Let me be honest with you. It's hard.
One question I have. Sometimes it's not so easy to find out where shall I do something or give, or because there are a lot of opportunities, so...
Yeah, a lot of problems, a lot of people, they need help, or they have problems, so sometimes it's not easy to discern where is now really my part
to step in.
And where can I say, okay, I pray and I hope the Lord will help somehow, but it's not my task
it's
to do it.
It's not my task. Mm-hmm.
To discern this.
That
what would you
is a
say?
Very good question.
I know also a lot of people, they help so much that they are exhausted, or that they... This is also not... Yeah, it's... I understood your message. I'm not questioning it, but...
Yeah.
Sometimes this is not easy to find.
This is the other side of the coin.
Yes.
The people with a helping syndrome, and they want to help everywhere, and they just give up their lives, but not on a good way.
Not in a good way. I think we must be wise. I think I was married to a man that we made jokes about him, saying that I'm the only thing that he will not give away. Oh. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That is truly the way he was. Mm-hmm. He would go cars. He would come home, I say, where's the car? No, he gave it away. And it was not as if we had a lot of money. You ask my children how they went to school without food, and how we didn't have money for the electricity and things. But he was just one of those people. He never knew where to stop. to giving and helping. He had a very, very soft heart. And I remember arguing very much with him and saying, but you have to be wise. And then he would say to me, show me in the Bible that says that I have to be wise helping people. But I think you must be wise. If you cannot look after your own family. And you know what? He looked after us. And later in our lives, he spoiled us. And he always said to me, one day I will make it up to you. Well, I don't know how he think he made it up to me by dying. But anyhow, you know, he always said, I will make it up to you one day. But he was always, he had this thing in his heart that, to serve. He was somebody that always served other people. Like, you know, even when my children talk about it, they would tell you they've never seen it before in people. It was just something that he had overcome in his life. It was easy for him. I think you grow into certain things in your life. But I would like to add, be wise. Be wise, because what also can happen, and I had too many, and this is very personal things that I'm telling you, but I had to fight against being upset with him, being upset with God, that there's lack in our house, but he's still just giving away.
Also du kannst nicht verrückt werden über Gott oder über die Person, die das Zeug alles weggibt, wenn du dann selber Mangel hast, oder?
So that's also not a good thing, you know. Make sure that your family is looked after and give what you can give. Give what you can, help when you can help. Sometimes it will cost you, but do not be unwise. Do not be unwise. So, yeah, laying down your life is not always also big things. It's making a phone call.
Telephone.
Small little things, you know, people that going through stuff, you know. I'm always saying I would not have made it so far if it wasn't for people. I know God is there, I know God carried me, but I'm telling you, the body of Christ carried us as a family. We need one another. Don't sit back and wait to be served. I think this is just the most important thing. Don't sit back, but become somebody that serves. Know that you, if you're a leader, you'll have to serve other people. And don't have to do it everywhere. Listen to the still voice. Listen to the still voice. Right. Something else?
Yeah, I think especially in this issue, it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Also for me, I can say that when I really feel a burden on my heart and I know this is now I have to do, I need to help here, even if it costs me things that we need ourselves, I would do it. But when it's just an emotional thing, and not from the Spirit, then I would be shy to do something. Because sometimes, especially if you are a pastor or a leader, people, they stand in on your door, they say, well, I am poor, I had this accident or this disease or this, and can you give me some money and things? And so they tell you stories. And if you then on and when you then on this emotional level, they just abuse you. This is not right. In the, that's not kingdom.
True, it's absolutely true. So I'm not talking about that extreme tonight. I'm just talking about, because the Bible is also talking about that inside the household. We must look after one another and make sure. And then from time to time you reach out to other people when God is putting... You know what will happen sometimes? God will put an impression on your heart. There's an impression you feel. There's something is bothering me with that family. And you go on with your life and you actually forget, and then all of a sudden you have that thing again. And you go on with your life and then it comes back, and it keeps on coming back, and you cannot get away from that. You know, God will keep on haunting you sometimes until you listen. And then you listen and it's over. The voice is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree, Andreas, it's very... Don't be emotional about things. But rather be emotional than disobedient. So it's such a thin line. It's such a thin line. And I don't want you to go home now and worry about it. No, just forget what we are saying tonight. And the Holy Spirit will remind you when you have to do something. Ach, and sometimes, you know, sometimes you feel, let me just be good to somebody. Doesn't even matter if they need it. Just bless somebody. Or just, even if it's today, just the emotional feeling to do good. Do it, you know. Don't always try to overthink everything too much.
Yes.
This is engineer. I have a son like that. That overthink everything. I know that.
He's also a son.
Yeah, I have this one also, but I have a natural son also. But, and this is the way your brains are working. And then I was married to a man that... He did not overthink anything. He was one of those before he thinks he acts. So, but that is not really the extreme that we're talking about. This is just daily things. And I also want to urge you as leaders, serve your pastor and his wife. It's your responsibility to do that. If you do not honor them, that's the way you honor them. You serve them. You make sure that they have enough. You make sure when she has people in the house to help her, send meals over. Help her. She has 4 children. It's your responsibility to serve them. And if you're not willing to do that, leadership is not for you. The Bible tells us, this is not my doctrine, the Bible tells us to honor those who leads us. So how do I honor? How do I honor? Speak to me. This is one of those things. On there, how do I honor? If I ask you to honor them, how will you honor them? Explain. In your language, what I'm saying.
Also, die Frage ist, wie das für uns oder eben ein Leiter könnte ehren oder mehr, wie wir das können ausdrücken können.
Set them free, yes, for time.
Like,
you know, care for children.
Help them. The ministry is not easy. I've been there. I know. It's hard. I've seen my own biological children suffer in the ministry, wanted to quit many times. It's a hard place to be. People don't understand it if you haven't been there. It's hard to carry the burdens of other people in your church. So make sure that they are well. And it's my responsibility as a father of this house, as this, he's the father, but of this house, to come in and tell you, you have to honor them. Sometimes we think if I honor them, it will make them proud. No. Maybe they will think too much of themselves. No. You know what? Whenever people honor me, it actually humbles me. I feel like crying. I feel like, God, I'm not good enough. I do not deserve this honor from
you. You can't give it back or somehow. It humbles.
It humbles you to. So I want to encourage you tonight also. And it is the leaders in the church's responsibility to serve the pastor. Because this is not my doctrine. This is what the Bible is saying. And telling us about how we must treat. And like I said before, you know, we say, yes, we honor them. How do you, the Bible, you know what really opened my eyes was when the Bible is saying that we have to honor our parents. So I was thinking about it. How will I honor my parents? And will I just honor them by listening to them? I'm old enough now, I don't have to listen to my mother anymore. How will I honor her? I'll tell you how I honor her. I look after her. I make sure that she has enough. If she needs anything, I take it. I go out of my way, I fetch her, I take her to whatever place she needs to go. Honor is doing something. Mm. It's not just a word that we speak. It's doing something. And that's another thing that we have to change in the church. That's one of those mindsets.
Yeah.
Because in the traditional church, you know, it's hard for a pastor. They suffer.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be different in this kingdom that we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you, don't neglect your service to your pastor and his wife. Don't forget his wife. You know, so I know still today people will introduce me and tell people, this is Frans Duplessis' wife. I mean, he's dead for 4 years already. But they still don't know my name. You disappear in a way behind the pastor when you're his wife. And I know what's going on behind the scenes. I know the role that the pastor's wife is playing to support her husband in the ministry. So don't forget her. She's just as important as the pastor. So I can plead for the wife, the case, because I was there. Okay. We've been busy already. How long? An hour already. How long? 15 minutes?
Yes, 15 minutes is okay.
Okay.
Or whatever is on your heart. And you tell if you are too tired and you want to go home.
I don't know what time to go to bed. But let me be honest, I go to bed 9:30. I never go to bed late. But I get up early. And I'm not praying the whole time when I get up. Okay, let's just do a little bit more. We will just go quickly through it. We also have a responsibility as leaders to realize that among us are weaker vessels.
Schwächere Gefäße.
We are not all on the same level in the church.
Sind nicht alle im gleichen Ort, ist gemeint.
So sometimes we will be at a place, and if you go and read Romans 14, you can read it at home, then you will understand better what we're talking about. But Romans 14 is saying a few things. Let's mention it. In verse 1, it's saying, you have to welcome the weaker vessels among you. Don't think I'm strong. You know, there's no sin in my life. Maybe you are one of the pillars. You can get to a place that there is no sin in your life. I truly believe it. But there's people among us that are not that strong.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have empathy with them, or not geduld. What's geduld?
Geduld, ja.
Is it? Ja, Afrikaans is geduld.
Geduld, ja.
We have to be patient mm-hmm. with other people. You know, don't say, ach, she doesn't belong here. Look how she lives, what she is. No, no, no. Paul is saying, you have to welcome the weaker vessel. You have to look after them if you're the stronger one. Secondly, in verse 4 and in verse 10, it's saying, you have no right to judge other people. We have no right to judge other people or to look down on other people. As leaders, we have no right to do that. We have no right to be a stumbling block to others or cause people to fall. And Paul is actually explaining it so beautiful when he said, if I drink, Paul was talking about eating, but let me use a glass of wine. Let me say, I have no problem with a glass of wine. If you want to drink it. It's your business. But let's say, I like to drink a glass of wine. But there's somebody among us. If I do that, he will stumble because I'm the father of the house and I'm drinking a glass of wine. So Paul is saying, then for the sake and the love of that brother, I will not eat what will make him stumble, or I will not drink, or I will not dress the way I dress if it makes somebody stumble. So you can use it in all contexts. He's using it by eating, explaining. You can go and read it, that helped. So he said, because I love my brother so much, I do not want him to stumble. I will not do that thing. And many times we preach and we say, the Bible is saying we're not supposed to take offense. And you know, it is what the Bible is saying. If you speak to me in an ugly way,
yeah,
I'm not supposed to be offended by it.
So, mich nicht beleidigt oder abgelehnt oder angegriffen fühlen.
So, we understand that. We're not supposed to take offense. But the Bible is saying in Romans, we are not supposed to give offense.
Also, wir sollen kein Anstoß sein für andere. Kein Ärgernis sein für andere.
So we have to be careful not to give offense, not to cause somebody to fall because of our attitude and our judgment. And this is things that is supposed to work for everybody, but especially when we are leaders and we work with somebody in groups and at the church. And, you know, and sometimes these things happen. Please don't go home and say, oh, I'm never going to make it. No. It's not about that. It's just about when you are aware of something that you do that's not, you know, change it. Get it right. Work on it in your life. Even if you do it 100 times wrong, there will be a day if you keep on working against it that you will get it right. Okay. So if your actions, what you're doing, grieve your brother, you are no longer walking in love. This is what Paul is saying. Because love, if I truly love my neighbor, I will not grieve him. I will not make him stumble. I will not give offense to him. This is what it means to love your neighbor like yourself. And 100 other things that I cannot even take out, but you can go, if you read the Bible, you see it all over in the New Testament. Okay. So it's also saying that the strong, we are the leaders and we are supposed to be the stronger ones in the church. The strong ought to bear with the weaker or the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So it's not about, listen man, this is what I like to do and if you're not happy with it, you can go. So it's not about that attitude. No, I love you. I'd rather leave, let's use the glass of wine. I leave the glass of wine if it make you happy until you grow up and realize that one glass of wine can do nothing. Or, I don't know, I don't drink wine. Just for your information. Not because I have a religious thing to it, I just don't like wine. That's why I can talk about wine. Okay. It's always a problem for myself. We have to pursue a life that builds up and a life of peace. That's our responsibility as leaders. Because the Bible is also saying by living that, by pursuing that kind of lifestyle, everybody will know whose children we are. They will not know by us saying, I'm a son of God. No. Everybody is saying they are sons of God. But by the lifestyle that I pursue, the way I love and I treat other people. If somebody falls among us, the Bible is telling us to restore them in love, to help them. You know, one of the things in the church that really bothers me, if somebody falls in sin and they come back and they repent, it's as if the church can just not forgive. It's like a label they put around their neck and say, you've done this and this and this. The Bible says, no, no, no. We have to restore the fallen ones. We have to have grace for people. Because you know what? Tomorrow it could be me. Nobody. Actually, Romans is saying, if you think that you stand, be careful that you are not actually busy falling. Because that's pride. So, you know, this is such basic things, but it's things that is important when we are leader. In Galatians 6 verse 1, it's saying, I'm actually in Galatians already, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law. What law? The law of love. Carry one another's burden, serving one another. Don't ever think that you are better. We know this. But by my actions, we will know. Do I think I'm better than other people or not? Seize any opportunity to do good to all people, especially to those within our household. And this is Paul saying in Galatians 6 verse 10. Seize any opportunity to do good. Now I don't know where is the emotional one or the voice. Maybe Paul was one of those that did not overthink anything. To all people, especially to those within our household. And then in Romans 15 verse 14, Paul is saying, I'm confident, and I want to close with this tonight. I am confident, looking at you guys on Sunday service, knowing how your pastor lived their lives, I'm confident concerning you. You are full of goodness. You are full of goodness. You are full of knowledge. And you have the ability to help and to instruct others. When Paul looked at this congregation, he said, this is what I see in you. And I want to encourage you and say, when I look at you guys, this is what I see. I see that you have the ability to live your life according to the Word of God. To follow instructions, to do what you have to do. And if you fight with a certain thing that's difficult, change your mind. It's possible. And do the right thing. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes, we had one this discussion. We had this discussion recently about somebody that is in our church, and she has some problems now. She's in a hospital for helping her. She had problems with eating too much, not too much, too less. So, and we went there, we prayed there, we proclaimed with her things, we helped her to confess sins and everything. And but sometimes then you figure out, well, this person is not really changing. So this, what you now said, touched my heart on one side, because, well, it is somebody weak in a way.
Yeah.
But in the other way, sometimes you realize, well, they are not obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
They are not obedient to the word you give them. They don't put them in action. And you think you are then on a position where you realize, well, I actually said everything that is to say. I cannot urge this person to act according to the word.
Very true.
Is it to the word of God or to my word or to my advice? And sometimes there is a position where you just have to leave them and to say, well, I can't help you more.
Very
I cannot
true.
Do the decisions for you. Mm. But I think it's not what you mentioned here with the weak.
No.
With the weaker people, because sometimes this is really a challenge as well.
Yeah.
Then to figure out how long shall I lay down my life and serve and do and when the the person is not responding
willing.
Or willing to
yes.
what you are doing or what you are saying, and sometimes I feel, well, just
move on.
Yeah. I don't want to waste my time,
sure.
But I don't want to give up the yes. person as well. So this is for me sometimes a stress to figure yeah. out when is what.
That is very true. But you know, I'm sure when that is, isn't there a story? Yes, there is. I'm going to answer my own question. A story in the Bible where Jesus said, if you go from house to house and people do not receive you,
mm-hmm.
you can go and just skittish stuff and your schooner off.
Yeah.
Yes,
the dust yes. from your feet.
So meaning, if people do not receive you, if they do not receive your love and your care, then I believe there's a time that you have to move on. Without judgment.
Yeah, I would not say they will not receive it, but they do not
respond.
They do not respond. Yeah. They stay in this habit of receiving. I am the poor one. I am the victim. I need your help. I need your love. You know what I mean.
But I know exactly.
But there is
what
no change in that happens, and sometimes you go.
Listen, the humans, I'm telling you, sometimes, many times, I was dealing with people, I said to myself, I wish I could just snap. Just, but yeah, you know, but we do what we can to the best of our ability. There's times that you move on without judging. There's a saying in, I think it's the Afrikaans saying, I'll try to translate it. You can bring a horse to the water, but you cannot make it drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's true. People have to also change their mentality, you know. And if they always see themselves as victims, it's very hard. It's very hard to deal with some people. I know.
It's a victim shop.
Yeah.
As it so wichtig, nicht abzulehnen nachher.
Mm-hmm.
Ist das offense oder?
No, it's important to not reject the person when he is acting like this.
Yes.
We still love them.
We have to love.
We're still willing to serve them, but we will not over and over tell the same things and there is no reaction and there is no response. So I say, well, I already told you. You know what to do. Just do it.
Do it. And you know, to serve people is always, it does not mean to become the doormat.
Mm-hmm.
The
doormat. Fußmatte.
People tramp on you all the time. Mm. No, that's not serving. So, I think we can get to a place that we grow up in the understanding of what it means to love people.
Mm-hmm.
To be wise. And sometimes you will be the doormat. And sometimes people, Paul is saying, pray for those who use you spitefully. So you get all these situations. Actually, Paul speaks about everything that we're talking about tonight. There's just not time to take everything out.
What is spitefully?
Spitefully, they use you on purpose to benefit themselves.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you feel, these people are just using me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure, like an abuse.
It's abuse. Mm-hmm. It's abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, you have to pray for them. This is what, you know, Paul. Paul. It's easy to read these things. But the Bible must become not only a nice storybook to us. I truly believe that the measurement, the plumb line that God will use against us will be the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There's no other thing that He will use. He will not judge us according to something that we don't know. He will judge us according to His Word one day. Do you know that scripture in the Bible that says the people were saying, open the heavens for us because we've done so, Lord, we've done so many miracles, we've drove out the demons, we've done this. I think it's in Luke somewhere. I do not have a very good memory. That's why I write everything down. He said, and then Jesus said to them, go away, I don't know you. Have you ever think about that? Was something that bothered me a lot. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible is clearly saying that they've done all these things in his name.
Mm-hmm.
Healed the sick. Mm-hmm. Drove out the demons. And he said, listen, I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
No? Mm-hmm. Why? So the things that we sometimes think is the important things. It's not the things that is what the Bible requires of us. The Bible is saying love your neighbor, love your God with everything inside of you. That's the measure stick that we will be measured with. So yeah, next time we can speak about what does it mean to love God. It actually means to love your neighbor. The Bible is saying, if you say that you love God and you cannot love your brother, you're a liar and you're in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we said tonight is actually, we can take it back to loving God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But thank you. It was wonderful to speak to you and have this opportunity to deal my heart with you.
Thank you.
And, I know I can be, I'm not overthinking things, but I am a little bit. But I also can, a thing is right or it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always also the right way to do it. But for me, you know, either you do it right or you don't do it, you know. So I can come over sometimes, this is expected from you and this is the way you're supposed to be. And yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be, but I mean, I'm not even measuring up to everything. I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. And I think that that's all God expects from us. Must never stop trying to grow into a mature son, into the likeness of Christ. But now I'm not going to say anything else.